Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we start this episode, I would like to mention our sponsor, Titan Nutrition. I've been using Titan products well before they became a sponsor. I'm a personal friend of the owner, and I know the quality, purity, and potency in each of their products to be efficacious and trusted. Titan Nutrition products are backed by the cGMP, that's the Greater Manufacturing Practices, using FDA-monitored facilities and third-party testing. For these reasons, Titan is the only supplement company that I use and that I recommend to my athletes. Titan Nutrition has a full A to Z supplement line ranging from great tasting proteins, creatine, and amino acids to the fun pre-workouts. However, today I want to talk to you about one of my favorite products that I can't go without, and that is Titan's Pure Greens. This is a powdered superfoods complex made with concentrated greens like spirulina, spinach, kale, alfalfa, and seaweed, along with a blend of antioxidant-rich fruits. This delicate process of freeze-drying organic fruits and vegetables at the peak of their ripeness, then pulverizing and powderizing the nutrients down to an easy-to-mix and enjoyable drink, allows you to pack 10-plus servings of fruit and vegetables into each serving of Pure Greens. This formula is also loaded with gut-healthy prebiotics, fiber, and 10 billion, that's 10 billion, CFUs of probiotics for optimal digestion and gut health. Of course, this is the key to a healthy immune system, which is the basis of our health and vitality. The best part of Pure Greens is that it tastes amazing, and I have 4 kiddos, so I know this, even your most picky eater at home will be able to use this and get in their veggies. You can find my favorite Pure Greens at titannutrition.net/CoachP, or by clicking on the link in the show notes, or on the show page, or on my Instagram bio, which is @CoachChadParks. By using the show link to Titan Nutrition, you'll save 10% on your order, along with free shipping. For an additional 10% off your order, you can subscribe and have Pure Greens delivered automatically to your door each month. As I mentioned, I take this every single day, so the Set It and Forget It subscription not only saves me money, but also the time and the hassle it would take to remember to reorder this every month. So go get yours today, titannutrition.net/CoachP. All right, let's get back to the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. Today we have on Colin Henderson. And real fast, before I give you his background, I want to tell you that I just recently heard Colin on another podcast, a mutual friend of ours, Jordan Montgomery. And the moment I heard it, I was like, I got to get this guy on my podcast. He is incredible. And I'm excited for what he's going to share today. So a little bit about Colin. He's a Fortune 500 speaker. He's the author of 5 books, also has a couple of journals out there. He is also a podcast host. So Master Your Mindset podcast. And we're going to talk a lot about mindset today, man. Colin is masterful there. He's a mental and performance coach, works with businesses, high-level athletes. And one of the most important things, he's a husband. He's a father of 5. So Colin, man, thank you for being on.
Chad's honor. I love talking mindset, man. This is great.
Yeah, so it's a blessing to have you on here, and I'm not kidding. Like, listen to you on the podcast immediately. I'm like, I got to get him on so we can get his wisdom. But let's start here. Let's start with your background. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, and I know that you were an athlete, so a little bit about some of your sports too.
Yeah, perfect question. Yeah, so we're in Nashville now. Grew up in the Seattle area, Washington State. As a young kid, man, just loved to compete, loved to play all the sports. High school, competed, played. I'm a Coug, went to Washington State University. I played football and baseball. And I think what's interesting about why I do what I do is I just struggled for so long with confidence, even though I was probably the best athlete. And I think a lot of performers can look at, you know, looking at fear and people ask, well, what got you into this? My dad loved me, but he was really verbally intense at times. So I think hear that voice and hear the yelling sometimes or breaking down after every single game, I just kind of developed this like anxiety. Like I got to be perfect. I would chase my worth tied to the result and the outcome. And my anxiety of having to be perfect kind of manifested into a slight stutter when I was in sixth grade. And so I just was balancing, you know, socially, how do I look? What are people thinking? Don't screw up, got to be perfect. And at WSU at Washington State, you know, I had scholarship offers. I started as a true freshman, also then captain of the baseball team. And I would play and I would do decently well, but like it wasn't to my standard. And so my coping skill was to work harder physically. I remember after my freshman, sophomore year, for the Cougs receiver. I had a good freshman year, not so good sophomore year. And then that offseason, like, I'm going to just commit to my craft. I'm going to attack the weight room. I'm going to like lift like no one's ever seen. I'm going to run all these routes and extra reps. I'm going to catch 100 balls per day. Just lock it in. So I had a great offseason, a great spring, a great summer, an amazing fall camp, was balling. And then 2 hours before our first game that year, I had this like panic attack. I was so anxious. Like the game was on ESPN, it was on like Thursday night. And you know, I had no idea how to control this. I remember playing Stanford and baseball, had like this inner dialogue in the dugout. Like, why am I so afraid? Why am I so nervous right now? I didn't know what to do. So years have gone by. And after graduate school, was in sales, selling to doctors, hospital surgeons, and then hit a really like 2 or 3 year rough patch of just like massive anxiety. When I changed companies, I got exposed to a mindset coach. Shout out to Frankie Pretzel. And Frankie was saying things like sales psychology beats sales strategy, like attracts like, energy flows where focus goes, whatever the brain can't conceive and believe it can achieve, thoughts become things. I'm like, what are you talking about? What is this? So he's like, well, here's these books on business. Here's these books on the power of the mind. Here's like thought leaders. Here's podcasts. Here's videos. Like study these concepts. Like it'll change your life. It all starts with your inner voice. So I was just fascinated because I'm very coachable and I just needed a coach. I just needed like, just coach me up on where to go. You know, like imagine going to a weight room. You've never lifted weights before, never worked out. Like, I don't know what to do, which machine or what rep, like what form, what technique. I didn't have that with like the power of mindset. So I just saw a transformation, Chad. I saw a transformation. I was healthier, happier, more engaged, more present. Started just crushing business and sales. And then I took that experience. I started blogging, started writing books. And then I was speaking at a school and they're like, yo, I want you to look up this guy. His name is Trevor Moat. He grew up in Washington, just like you. He works with Nick Saban, Alabama. He's the mental conditioning coach for Russell Wilson. And I was like, what's mental conditioning? And the power of intention, the power of focus, the power of setting your frequency. I got to meet Trevor and we got collaborated working on creating stuff together to bring to people on the power of the mind. So long story short, I never thought I'd be doing this in fifth grade. I never thought I'd be a mindset coach. What's a mindset coach, Chad? But I'm here doing it. And it's been such an awesome, awesome journey.
There's a lot in that, man. That is, first off, phenomenal story. And I fully feel you, man. My dad is a Hall of Fame wrestling coach down in Oklahoma. And I understand pressure a lot, right? Always one of the best athletes, but lived in perfection and tying self-worth to outcomes and those type of things. And so as an adult, as a coach, when I started getting into mindset coaching, and I mentioned this off camera, but man, there are many times I'm working with other athletes thinking, I wish I would have had this. I wish I would have had this kind of training. I could have been even better, right? I could have balanced my life out a little bit more, those type of things. So anyway, and let me back up real quick. Dude, it's incredible that you were a two-sport athlete in college. Like, absolutely incredible. I love it, man. But I think what you're talking about is not that different from a lot of people, right? Maybe some people don't have that athletic ability, but why am I nervous? Why am I afraid? Why am I scared? I put in the work. Why? And then also tying identity to outcomes. Those are very common things I see with my own athletes. But I think of a lot of us, even if you're in the business world, right? Maybe you're tying your job and your job performance to who you are as a human being, man. You have a good day, things are going good. You have a bad day, and all of a sudden you're crashing, right? You're down. So these are real life things that apply in multiple areas. So what you're doing is massively important. Real fast before I ask you the next question, I also want to say this. So you mentioned Trevor. I read his first book, It Takes What It Takes. Was reading that, like, this is an incredible book. And about, I would say partway through it, I was like, the moment I get done with this book, I'm going to contact him. I'm going to try to get him on my podcast. I finished reading his book, and it was like literally a day or two later, and he passed away. I didn't know he had cancer at the time, was battling that. But his book was very, very impactful for me. And then as soon as I learned that you guys had worked together and Create Limitless Minds, I was like, that is incredible, because I'm going to get to also learn this information that I wanted to be able to learn from Trevor as well. But so it's awesome what you guys created. We'll talk about Limitless Minds in a minute. So you asked this question. You said, what is mindset coaching? So for you, what is a mental conditioning coach or mindset coaching? What is it that you guys are doing in that, I guess, area or sphere?
Yeah, that's great. Well, there are three things we can train as performers: our body, our craft, and our mind. In the mental performance or the mental health space, so much of it emphasizes on like counseling and therapy, which is so vital and so needed. Think about an athlete. You have the training room and the weight room. When there's an injury or a setback physically, you go to a trainer in the training room to get your body healed. You do work on recovery. In the mental space, that's counseling and therapy. Like, we have some heavy, hard things that we're going through, like really strong anxiety, depression, different things where you have a trained professional to help heal through that. Where mental conditioning is the weight room. It's proactive. It's what I call prehab. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be sick to get better. So just like you want to improve endurance, explosion, speed, we do that with our mind, you know, self-awareness, focus, confidence, resilience, core values, managing fear, failure, pressure. Like, we're going to work on those skills emotionally, mentally. So in the moment, we're not reacting. When we're dealing with pressure, change, adversity, we actually know where to go. We're ahead of it. We don't wait for a problem. So it's creating evidence-based concepts backed by real world examples, like real world people who've done it, making that learner reflect, create that awareness. And then we're going to do this every day, or we're how we warm up, how we use our self-talk, how we take time to be mindful, how we visualize the things that we want, how we master language, what we will be verbalized, to set boundaries, what we don't consume, what we don't say, and how we talk and communicate as a group. So, you know, if I were to ask any coach or any sales leader, give me the traits of your top performers, they're going to say things like motivation, passion, unshakable confidence. They can execute in the big moment. I'm like, well, great. What do you do to train those things? You know, that's not in like sales onboarding. You know, when you're teaching skills of wrestling on different maneuvers and different, you know, ways to pin your man, like, well, there's a mental side of that. It's the thought, it begins before it begins. So just giving a framework on where to go to create like this, like, belief. How I define mindset is, this is my definition, very clear: a conditioned set of beliefs that drive behavior. So there are three keywords I want us to hone in on. Number one is conditioned. Your brain is being conditioned, whether you like it or not, by what you see, hear, and experience. What you're observing, your past events, experiences, what you're watching, who you're around, it's shaping your beliefs about yourself, about your skills, about your environment, about the world, about your opponent. It's being shaped and conditioned. And a lot of people have no structure around that. Mm-hmm. And that conditioning on these beliefs drive behaviors, your actions, your habits. So we have to be aware of those two dials. It's not just thinking. It's not just visualizing. That's one part of it. But it's also the behaviors. Trevor was all about get behind those behaviors. It's not just thoughts. So I'm really into both. So let's pinpoint and shape and design. I love to say by design, not by default. Mm-hmm. So designing self-talk plan, designing the values, designing your self-image, and then designing the habits, the routines.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, the habits, routines. And when you were saying that, it just made me think about the whole, you know, in when times of adversity, you don't fall back to the level of your desire, you fall back to the level of your training, right? So when you're being very intentional about those areas that you're just covering, that's what your actual training is. So when we get in competition, when you get in front of a room, you're doing a presentation, you're going to talk to your boss, you're meeting with your spouse and talking about something important, right? What has all gone into that before you do that thing so you can actually jump into action and do it well?
Would you say confidence is important?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, where does confidence come from? Research from the BBC lab in the UK, 44,000 patients, research led by Andrew Lane, found that self-talk was the number one driver to influence confident action.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you don't have to feel confident to perform confidently, because we're going to have butterflies. We're going to have some little queasiness, and that's just how to manage and interpret nerves, you know? So if you can say, but we can use that training and how you prepared and self-talk and say, I am ready for this because I put in the work. I've had past success, because most of us go to where we failed. The brain keeps a scoreboard of all your mistakes, not your wins. And then having some self-talk statements, what I call anchor statements, that are anchor your performance and your focus, you know, staying present, staying, going to truth. And most people, their inner voice is breaking down all the things that could go wrong, or they play not to fail, where we can reframe and focus on who we are, not who we aren't, what we want, not what we don't want, what we're going to do, not what we don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that 1,000,000%. Yeah. And those are things that we work with our athletes on all the time. So that self-talk, having little short phrases that you can say, man. And again, those are things that I wish, if I could go back as an athlete, I wish I would have had that, right? I didn't have, and I did put in the physical work all the time. But I didn't have the mental work that I put in, because I was never taught those things. And my dad, like I say, he's a phenomenal coach, did a good job teaching us. But in those days, I don't know how long this goes back. I would say in the last 10 years, probably really the last five, people have really started to see the value in training the mind the same way that we're training the body, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to have those statements. And it's funny saying that, because, you know, you could watch a top UFC fighter walk out, and a lot of times you'll see them just talking to themselves, saying something over and over and over, right? They're saying those simple, short little statements that they can hear. So they're not listening to the doubt. They're not listening to the what ifs, what if I lose, what if I don't perform well. They're just intentionally saying in their mind what they are going to do, what they are going to believe, how they can go out there and perform. So very good, man. Yeah, it is. And that is a complex topic, and it takes a lot of intention, a lot of training to be able to go through and to be able to do that and to tie those things together. One thing that my dad, a story he always told, and I tell my teams, and I often go back and listen to this, is take a high school football team, okay? And you get some guys out there and they're just playing one hand touch, and they're playing, you know, they're out there, they're throwing around. You'll see the most amazing plays. Guys laying out, the one hand catch it, they're juking people out, all this stuff. Take that same guy, put him under the lights on Friday night, and a 10 yard pass hits him in the hands and he drops it. We know he has the athletic ability. We saw it the day before playing flag football or one hand touch football, right? We saw it. But then he wasn't able to utilize that on Friday night because of the mind, because all of a sudden there's, what if I drop this ball? What if I mess up in front of everybody? Those type of things. So that's an example of exactly what you're saying.
Yep, exactly. 100% true. We see it all the time.
Yeah. So, all right. So for you, whenever you're working with athletes, whenever you're working with teams, maybe it is that you're working with a Fortune 500 company, right? Businesses, and you figure out kind of what they need. What is it that, or how do you go about doing that? Are you working with individual athletes? Are you working with teams once a month? Are you working with them daily? So what are some of the structures that you use whenever you're going in? Because if somebody's listening to this and they're like, man, I want to bring in Colin, I want him to work with my team, or I want him to work with my company, what are some of the services you offer, or the ways that you work with these people?
Yeah, I think it's part of it is creating awareness that there are three things you can train: your body, your craft, and your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking questions like, well, if you're a student athlete or a coach, how much time are you in the weight room? How much time are you training your skills? How much time are you training the mind? And that really, and then it's like, well, late in the game, who would you trust with that last play? You know, the most talented physical player or athlete, or the one who's most tough mentally? It's always the most tough mentally. So I think it's just raising awareness. Yeah, it's important. And then it's giving them some guideposts and some structure. Well, here are some things you can start training mentally, just like weight room or just like skills. So mindset, like a skill set, it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So I have different pillars that I teach. And the way I go about it is, you know, I love a live event. So let's get them captivated, motivated, engaged, and kind of create the awareness. This is something that we should be doing, and this is how we do it. I have an online course or courses. I have podcasts. I do a lot of Zoom meetings where, you know, they'll sign up for a 6-month deal or a year deal where I'm jumping on every month. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. For the online, the virtual, the live events. But really, I'm passionate about coaching the coaches and giving them the language. So actually, it's more powerful if actually they teach it and they have part in of their like practice plan, of their week plan. They're doing some of these drills. Here's a simple example. One of my favorite drills to teach on mindfulness and how to use mental imagery is, I know you have your GET acronym. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what that was. So it was gratitude, effort, and toughness.
Yes.
So I teach the HA method, or the 4-minute mental workout, which is I have, I am, I will. And so let's just give examples of like, if I'm coaching like a coaching staff or like a big organization, like to bring back to their team. Well, on Mondays, we're just going to breathe. Do you know how to breathe properly? Do you know how to go low and wide and find your breath and then connect to your body? The bigger the moment, the bigger the breath. When we get anxious and like overworked, we get shallow breathing. We're getting so much oxygen, what's activating fight, flight, freeze, hide, submit, where we need more CO2, slow it down, you know, in through our nose, using our nose to really focus, you know, that energy. And then on Tuesdays, let's do I have statements or visualization or mindfulness. I have is gratitude. And let's break down the science of gratitude. I know you can probably do a whole seminar on gratitude, which so I would teach them that and how to practice it, you know, with our thoughts, with our words, with our feelings, with our actions. And it could be in prayer, it could be in a journal, it could be in just, you know, is this a get to or have to, and shifting that perspective of, you know, giving thanks. And then on Wednesdays, we can do what I call I am statements or affirmations, just powerful self-talk. Just practicing and writing down things we're going to go to in the moment. You know, the language is the wardrobe of our beliefs. And, you know, thoughts become things, and what you think about, what you focus on, you become. So using language to shape belief and shape what we want to do with our values, our actions. And then I will is your, on Thursdays, we'd visualize, I will set your intention and see success, see how you want to show up, see how you want to perform, see who you want to be. Then maybe Fridays, we put it all together. So that's just an example of like, I can coach the coaches, or I can film the audios or the cameras and just do these short lessons. I like to have them, you know, carve out time in your period, have a 5-minute period on mindset, or like pre-practice, you know, or post-practice. But there's a lot of ways you can do it. I've actually written now 7 books. I have 2 different ways you can journal, 2 different journals that they can utilize. But to just, well, reach out to me, we can work it out.
I love it, man. That is awesome. It makes me feel pretty good because we're doing some of those things on our team, so that's good. Yeah, the whole breathing thing, man, that's something we've really implemented the last couple of years. So, you know, I teach the guys box breathing, my guys and girls team. We do, you know, we work on box breathing. We do what we call like the long exhale or the double inhale. So 2 like strong breaths through your nose and then the long inhale. It's amazing how many of our guys mid-match, something's happened. There's a blood timeout or went out of bounds or whatever. We yell at them, hey, get the double inhale, and they've done it. And then later on come back like, man, coach, I was able to like completely refocus doing that real quick. Yeah. And again, we're very intentional about it, right? So like we teach it, and if it's worth teaching, it's worth practicing. So then we literally practice that during practice, right? We practice that. We're like lifting weights really hard. We'll stop. We'll do a couple of the breath work things real fast. Boom, we're right back into lifting. And that way, when we get in the heat of the moment, we can actually remember to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love your phrasing. So I want to hear you say it again. language is the wardrobe of your beliefs. Is that how you said that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is, I love that, man. That's
And I would say another drill every coach should bring into their team is to have a reset plan, to press the reset button.
Reset button, baby. I love it. Yeah. I want to hear your
so
big on it. So let me hear your reset.
Well, it's just like you said, if you can create awareness on when their internal activation, their internal state is getting out of whack. There's different ways we can teach, you know, it's blue, green, red, or I mean, there's different colors or different numbers, like 1 to 9 from a number scale, you know, 1 low, 9 high, like low, 1 is like too low energy or sadness. You know, 7, 8, 9 is either massive anxiety or like way too much energy that you can't sustain, where like 3, 4, 5 is like that green zone, that kind of flow. So it's like get to green. But there's different strategies to do that where use your body. So I teach kind of 3 ways to reset. Is number one is, well, just, it starts with awareness, like to label your critic. If you can name your team, label that inner voice. It's not you. That's just your ancient brain trying to sabotage you, to play it safe, you know, to not face fear, to be average. That's what your brain wants. Your brain wants to be average. Your brain's designed to worry. So notice when your heart rate's beating and you feel kind of weird and funky and the anxiety starts rolling in, or you're just like, man, I don't have the juice today. Like, I don't even want to be out here. So there's 3 things we can do. Press reset button. Number one is have a reset phrase or a reset word. Because if you look at what I call the thought cascade, the brain thinks in 4 dimensions. So a word that you say, think, hear, or verbalize creates a picture that your brain sees. And the brain sees the picture and it creates an emotion. It attaches an emotion. Could be joy. Could be fear. It could be anger. It could be shame. It could be frustration. But that feeling started with a thought. So it's like, do you cry and then think of something, or you thought of something and you start crying, you know? So it's, if we can reshift that word, that thought, that creates a picture and emotion, and that emotion holds a belief. That's why I said language is the wardrobe of our beliefs. Mm-hmm. So have to use a word to get your mind back on track, to remind yourself, not today, say, no, not today. This is from Ali Love. She says on the Peloton, your first thought will be negative, but your second, third, fourth thought doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
So have like a mantra that, hey, okay, I'm not feeling the juice. I'm going to get the juice. I'm going to just go to my phrasing, go to that reset. I got this. And then the second one is have a reset routine. Just like you gave an example of when your wrestlers used those breaths in or box breathing, or I teach 6 to 8 breathing, breathe in for 6, hold for 2, out for 8. Or use your body, use your physiology to change your psychology. You want to change your emotion, use motion. So get out of your mind, get in your body. So baseball players, you know, Aaron Judge, Yankees, will grab dirt, rub it in his hands to reset and lock back in. Kobe would untie his shoes and tie them back up to lock back in. Have a physical routine to reset. And then the third one is to have a reset visual. Use your eyes. There's lots of evidence that even just using eye movement, right to left, left to right, can calm down anxiety. Yeah. But it's changing your vision, your sight, what you see to focus your mind. It could be, you know, if you're in sales, like you have a vision board on your phone. There's a referee in the NBA that I kind of helped out. He, you know, during the national anthem, he would read the rafters, the banners, and just kind of keep his mind focused on that one thing. I have a tattoo, 24-37, on my forearm. 24 is for Kobe Bryant, father of 5, no longer here. 37 is for my college teammate, Steve Gleason. I was in the NFL for a long time. He has ALS. So, I'm nervous about this Zoom call. I'm alive and I'm healthy. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, and my reset phrasing I tell myself is I master these 5 words. I want every single person on this podcast to master these 5 words, say them, feel them, believe them. Is I'm not defined by this. Wait, hold up. You're letting a sport define your worth? Hold up. Wait, you're a human being choosing to perform in a sport. Like when you lose checkers, do you think you're a horrible person when you lose playing checkers? That's a game. This is a game. It's no different. It's what you attach a meaning to. So do it because you love it. Do it because you want to grow and then test, how far can I go? How far can I take this? How can I be a great teammate? You know, I want to see what I'm made of. I want my opponent's best because that brings out my best. So it's just having those tools to reset. And you would practice these.
Absolutely. Love them. Those are, yeah. That's something we often teach and we work on. But just giving that right there to our podcast audience, people that are listening, is so valuable, right? Those tools right there, If you're about to walk up on stage and speak somewhere and you got to reset your mind, those tools right there. If you're going to walk out there and you're going to compete, those as a coach, and I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, we're at the state tournament. One of my wrestlers goes out, loses a match. We felt like there were some calls that didn't go our way. Long story short, I'm really upset after the match. I mean, I'm talking really upset after the match, right? I'm walking off to the side. I'm so frustrated. And it hits me, and I'm like, I have to reset. Same way I teach my athletes to reset. So I had to utilize some of the tools you're just talking about, because it's not fair if my emotions are out of control and I still have a lot of guys left to coach here. That's not fair to them, right? So I had to go reset. So this can be used in so many parenting. How many times, you know, might your kids get under your skin or they mess up or they do something instead of lashing out, right? Sometimes you got to reset before you go back and you have that conversation with them. So it's more effective, not parenting out of emotion.
100%. Yeah. And I'm going to give the listeners, before your match, your wrestling match, I want you to do these three things. And it's like, you don't have to be confident to act and perform confidently. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to N-O fear. I want you to K-N-O-W fear. To know it. No, I'm saying it's part of the thing. It's part of the process. Part of competing. Yeah. It's part of being a warrior.
Yes.
The coward and the warrior have one thing in common. They both feel fear. The coward runs away. The warrior runs towards. So don't think that fear is bad. Fear is normal and good. It's how you interpret it. It's how you use it. So I was in Las Vegas about to go on stage at a national sales meeting. There's 500 people, this massive hotel, Venetian hotel. And the marketing director who's going to introduce me was brand new in her role. And she's like, Colin, I don't know if I can do this. I've never spoken in front of this many, many, many people before, and I'm new and I'm kind of freaking out. Can you help me? Like, well, luckily you asked the right guy, because I used to have a massive fear of public speaking, and I'm a mindset coach. So we're going to work on these three things. So wrestlers, parents, coaches, don't tell someone just to calm down, because telling someone to calm down, no one has ever calmed down. Let's have a strategy here. So the first thing I had to do is like, all right, I want you to just take 1 minute. And I want you to walk around the room here and just slow down your breathing.
Yeah.
Just connect to your breath, whether it's box breathing, whether it's 6-2-8, whether it's in too quick, out slow. Did you get that from Andrew Haberman? Haberman?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's a fast way to lower cortisol, lower adrenaline, right? Yeah. So I just had her walk around the room and just find her breath. I know Aaron Rodgers says his number one tool pregame is to find his breath. That's what he does. So she comes back. I was like, okay, great. Who's your favorite celebrity? She's like, let's say Oprah. I love Oprah. Like, love Oprah too. So walk around the room like you're Oprah, like you own your own network. Like, people paid money to come see you. Like, with that body language, that expansive, big posture, people can't read your mind. They can read your body language.
Yeah.
And I know I've read research from Amy Cuddy at Harvard. I mean, her research shows people feel more confident when they get expansive with their body.
Yeah.
So just act your way into the feeling, right? Your feelings aren't facts.
Physiology changes your psychology. So
you 100%. Said,
yeah.
Change your emotion. Use motion. Get into a peak state physically. And then she came back and I was like, well, talk to yourself like you're Oprah. Like, what would they sound like? That game, what if, goes both ways. What if I fail? What if I get beat? What if I win? What if I pin this mofo? Let's go. Like, yeah. Well, just trust my training. You know, just use self-talk to, like, get those thoughts to serve you, not hurt you, you know? So she did that for a minute. So then I was like, okay, this is just a truth. I want you to understand the anticipation is worse than the participation.
Mm.
And I didn't tell her this story, but here's another example, analogy of this. You look at nature as a great teacher of high performance. Like, nature is the best teacher. And when there's a storm is coming. There's a difference between cattle and a bison. Do you know the difference?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bison. You know the story.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to tell her? Yeah.
Well, let's just start with what not to do. So cattle will either lay down and take the abuse or run away and stay in the storm longer. You know, they're running away from that fear or that I guess I don't even call it threat, but they either submit or they run away, they flee, and they're in it longer, where a bison senses it and they attack it. They go, they run right towards it. And in the movie, We Bought a Zoo, I love the truth. It just sometimes takes 10 seconds of courage. It's the start that stops most people. So she did those three things. And I was like, no one's going to be critiquing you. You have this thought that everyone's judging and analyzing what you're doing. No one's even paying attention. They're worrying about what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's this acronym, FOPO, fear of other people's opinions. It's really not true. It's made up in your mind. There's real fear and there's fake fear. So she did a great job up on stage. So breathe big, act big, think big, bat big. Let's go.
Love it, man. And it's funny, you were reading my mind, because I literally, you mentioned earlier, but I literally was going to ask you, like, hey, give us some steps for anxiety, nervousness, fear, your SNS, right? Again, it's your sympathetic nervous system. It's acting up, and it's how you interpret it. Yeah. And it's funny you said be a warrior, because that's literally something I was in when I made the finals of my first time I made the finals of a college tournament. We're wrestling somewhere in Iowa, make the finals. Remember, my coach comes over and he says, hey, and my coach was phenomenal. And he says, hey, you nervous? And I'm like, yeah. And so he starts talking to me. He was really good at getting you kind of laughing and loose. But he said, hey, that's warrior mode. Like, when you go into warrior mode, your body's faster, it's stronger, smarter, right? It's fight or flight. And we can't just flight. I've never seen anybody run off a wrestling mat unless it was like a little bitty kid. So it's really fight or freeze. Okay. So he said, at this point, your SNS, like your sympathetic nervous system's kicking in. That's warrior mode, baby. You're faster, you're stronger, you're smarter. Let's go. And that's exactly what you said. So you read my mind, man. Talking about that. That's awesome. And again, like, so I didn't have these steps. So many people don't have these steps or these actual things that they can do. I'm going to send this out to all my wrestling parents and wrestling teams so they can hear you teaching these things, man. Cause you're giving us like real life examples and real steps that people can use in so many areas. So, man, Colin, that's awesome. Thank you for that. So let's jump to another area, because I want to just keep asking you and having to give all this stuff. But okay, let's look at the business side real quick. If somebody wants to start up their own business, because not only do we have athletes and stuff that listen to this, but we have a lot of entrepreneurs and business people as well. If somebody's wanting to start their own business, to grow their own business, to jump into a space where they're passionate and they can use their gifts, you've done that. You've been there, you've done it. How do you do it? What are some of the steps or things that we can utilize?
Yeah, I think I like to teach using acronyms, storytelling, and the acronym we're going to work off in this business, like how to create a passion or a curiosity, you know, or an interest, you know, that you want to do for a calling, not just a job or a career. Yeah, it's a calling. It's like I put it on my Instagram stories last night. I was on an airplane after doing it, filmed a bunch of videos with a new entity I'm helping start, and was speaking in Dallas the day before to a sales organization. I'm like, wait a second. Is this work or play? I can't tell. It feels the same. You know, so it's this truth. Scratch the itch, find a niche, you'll be rich. So it's scratching that itch and what you're obsessed with. What do you think about? What do you read? What do you talk about all the time? Like, that's a strength of yours. That's life's clue for you. And then that niche is, you know, looking at who needs what you have to offer. And that's where the riches are. But let's just break down having again, I apologize if people don't like acronyms, but that's how my brain works. It's how I remember things. So we're going to use this framework, GPS, having a direction, a North Star, a clear path, a clear vision. Do you have that much clarity in your life? A lack of motivation is a lack of clarity, period. So when you look at what you're doing, you have this pull towards something that you just, gosh, I just keep reading about this. I daydream about this. You know how many people do that and do nothing with it?
Yeah.
And it's a cliche, but it's been used a lot, but it's true. You know, we have, we are born twice when we are born in this world, and then we find our purpose, our passion, and we start doing, you know? So the first G, and let's just, I'm someone who's very practical, and I'm someone who had a normal 9-to-5 job that I left to do this full time. I'm an entrepreneur. I started my own company. So I had to take that leap of faith and having a family. So We're going to go GPS. If you're taking notes, write down G. If you're an adult or you're an entrepreneur or you're in high school or college and you want to do something that lights you up, let's just start here. The first G is your goal. How much money do you need to make to pay your bills? How is it's not more simple than that, is it? Like, yeah. For you to leave your 9 to 5 or your corporate job or teaching or coaching, whatever that you're doing, and you want to tap into your purpose, your power, your this curiosity, let's start backward designing. How much money do you make? Like, that's so practical, but we kind of don't do that.
Yeah.
And then the other G, which is just as important, is when you're building your brand, building this new entity, it's an S-Corp LLC, that's a whole other topic on like the business side, but what are your guiding principles? Like, what's going to direct your behaviors in terms of values, in terms of purpose? So I know, I write down, I see in my mind when I visualize, when I do my hot method, I know the number I'm looking at each month. I'm going to go manifest, let's go. Thoughts become things. But I also tap into my core values, my guiding principles as being a G. I have a G tat on my wrist, which is God first, gratitude, give, grow, and grace. So I'm not going to let money dictate my behaviors. I'm going to have a roadmap of my guiding principles are going to dictate my behaviors. Are you willing to feel like crap for your values? No, maybe not. I hope you are, because sometimes you make bad decisions because you're chasing money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's get those guiding principles. So that's the G, the goal. What's the goal? How much do I need to make? And these guiding principles, like look at key words, key traits that are going to guide your behaviors. Now, the P, the number one thing I need us to look at business is people don't buy solutions, people buy problems. What problem in the marketplace are you going to attack? So for me, I won't tell you my monthly goal, that's just personal, but I told you my like guiding principles. And the problem that we're addressing is that, you know, you can train body, craft, mind. No one's trained the mind. And we all can agree that that's the most critical thing that is going to influence our performance, our well-being, our happiness, and there's zero training on it. I can do a whole slide on the stats and the numbers on anxiety, stress, burnout. I've had them all memorized. I'll just save everyone's time, but I really talk about the problem. So what's the problem you're addressing, mm-hmm. Chad? And then part of that problem, what people have that problem? Who has that problem? Who are the decision makers? Who are the people that need and want what you have? And with that, what people do you need to help you solve the problem? Is it a graphic designer? Is it a web designer? Is it a business coach? And then I think what's critical with this too, okay, I have the number I need to make per month. Let's get clear on that. Bills, mortgage, car payment, you know, kids, guiding principles. Okay, what problem am I going to try to solve? Who has that problem? Who do I need on my team? But this is a key one that a lot of people are unclear on, especially when you're starting out. What products am I going to develop and sell to make that monthly number? So is it coaching? Is it an online course? Is it books? Is it masterminds? Was it one-on-one? Is it keynotes? Is it training? Like, what am I going to sell? What products am I going to sell that solve the problem to a certain person that gives me that monthly nut?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then moving to the S, this is from author James Clear. We don't rise to our goals, we fall to our systems. What are your systems to relay the problem, to connect to those people who have that problem, and to build that relationship and that trust to get some deals going? And anchored with that system, what are modes of where you're going to serve, give free stuff away? Give it away. Give your best stuff away. Get them in the door. Get them knowing what you do, who you are, and give them need that I want more of this.
Intellectual generosity. That's a term that I had a podcast guest on, and he shared that with me. Intellectual generosity. So you're giving away your best stuff. Yeah. All right, man. I just took a three pages of notes on accident there. So no, it was three pages of intentional notes, because that was very, very good, man. Phenomenal. And I almost felt bad because you were giving away so much good stuff. I'm like, all right, man, you were giving away all kinds of, giving away your juice, man, your secrets. But I know that it's what you're full of, right? Because it's what you take in. So that's what's in your heart. That's what comes out of your mouth. That's what's in your brain.
Well, here's the right. I can tell you all this stuff. How many people are actually going to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's
going to do it? I'll give you all my stuff. I'll give it to you for free. How many of you are actually going to do it? That's why I'm not competing against anybody. I'll give everything I got to you.
That's a good challenge right there. How many people are actually going to step up and utilize it?
Exactly.
Very, very good, man. All right. Getting just a little bit personal. Okay. I believe God's given us all gifts, abilities, and part of our job is to be able to utilize those and to you know, get better at those things. But I want to call it your genius. If you were to say, like, hey, here's an area of genius I have for you, what would it be?
I think my area of genius, I guess what I love to do, so I think of genius and strengths, not only what you're good at, it's what you love. Mm-hmm. I think my area of genius is taking these esoteric, high-level, academic, ivory tower, you can call them theories or concepts or, you know, mindset, psychology stuff, and high performance, and finding the patterns, finding the systems, finding what works, and distilling it down to usable, bite-sized, actionable, coachable, actionable content.
Yeah, which you've given us a lot of right now. And you do a phenomenal job labeling these things, right? So being able to put it in a way that I can remember in a couple of words, I can remember in a couple of letters, what it is that you just distill down to teach us. That's excellent. That's
well, amazing. And I do that, my friend, because I need it. I coach it, teach it, because I need it every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I am a recovering perfectionist, a people pleaser, you know, work tied to performance. I still work on this stuff every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good, man. Yeah. So words matter, right? The words that we say matter, and they're impactful. And so one of the things that I've tried to learn to say to myself when it comes to perfectionism, like, instead of perfectionism or being perfect, it's mastery. I'm going to work on mastering something versus being perfect at it. And so as you're saying that, man, just taking, being able to take these concepts and distill them down, all lead toward that mastery. So it's, I love the way you're doing it. And I thank you again for sharing it. If you were going to give yourself some advice right now, right? We often ask, like, hey, what's the best piece of advice you've ever given? And I think that's a great question. But if you were speaking to you right now, calling in the mirror, and you needed to give yourself some advice right now, what would it be?
So it's right now?
Right now.
A phrase I've been working on this week is, again, this is coming from someone who's working on self-compassion, self-love, that my feelings matter, like my, you know, self-love is, you know, it's the hardest love to give and receive, is I don't need your permission or approval, because I'm always seeking that permission and approval. That's my little kid when I was 9-10 years old. Mm-hmm. That we all still have in, like, an inner child, an inner little boy or girl in there that's, like, sometimes will pop up or feel the fear. That's just that inner you that sometimes we haven't really worked on. And the truth is, pain that is not properly processed gets projected. Mm. People wonder why I'm in these same cycles, these same environments, these same outcomes. It's because you haven't done the inner work. But the moment you start doing the work and you carve out time for this and you ask for help and you get into a small group, everybody needs the four C's: a church, a coach, a counselor, and a community, to start normalizing these things. Because watch this, pain that is properly processed becomes your power.
Mm. So put those two together. So pain, that, say the first one, then say the second one.
Okay. So I think a lot of us, we're in these patterns, man. Like, we're in these, like, who you marry is probably something that you were conditioned early on of, like, or your business partner or your friends or your career, your craft. Like, there's these default patterns that we subconsciously just find ourselves in these situations because of mental conditioning, and that conditioning is shaped not by good stuff, it's shaped by trauma, drama, daddy and mama stuff. So if you're not aware of these old stories, these old patterns, these old default modes, pain that is not properly processed gets projected. You keep projecting these assumptions, these stories, these subconscious beliefs. Is that thought true? Said by who? Adam Grant has a great book called Think Again. Like, you can challenge these old assumptions. That's why if we have, you said, I'm a person of faith, so do you have a church that you pray to, that you surrender to, that you ask for help toward, that you give it up to? Do you have a coach who's like working with you, listening to you, giving you some system strategies, hold you accountable, that can love you hard, love you tough, support you? Do you have a counselor that helps you process some of these old stories, these default mode thoughts and beliefs and these emotions that keep rising up, keep projecting? Do you have a community that you can go to war with, cry with, live life with? Let's go.
And that all leads to pain that is properly processed.
And that whole sequence and that environment and that intentionality allows you to do the work. Victory goes to the vulnerable. Asking for help is a sign of strength. Nobody should worry or win alone. Happiness can't be actualized unless it's shared. Pain and shame can't be healed unless it's shared. Pain that's properly processed becomes your power. If you make your mess your message, make your mess your mission, own it, talk about it, but use that. Nature has given us two drivers, pleasure and pain. Most of us just look at pleasure. That pain is a powerful tool. That was for this. That was for this, which creates this is for that. And you can be unstoppable if you just do the work and you are intentional about it. We went really deep right there, my friend.
We went really deep right there. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this again and take all that in. Man. That was really, really good. I love it, man. Good. And then your four C's. Very, very good. I hope everybody's taking notes. If not, go back, start this podcast over again. Grab your pen, grab your paper, take some notes. So put them in there. All right. Last question. You can expound upon this as much as you want. Pick one or pick all. Okay. I call these the three H's. So tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life, or a little of each. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Well, let's just kind of bring it back full circle. I talked about how my dad like really kind of shaped some of these fears. My dad is my best friend, my biggest hero right now.
Yeah.
My dad is my biggest cheerleader. Like, I look at, he's 75 now, and like, he's grown so much, and he's like my rock. I call him all the time and we talk through things, and he listens and he gives me a different perspective. So I would say I'm so blessed and so thankful that, I have that. A highlight is just being a dad, man. Like every birth of our children, and being in their presence and remembering, you know, it's this concept when we're in these roles, Chad, you know, where we're coaching, you know, you do keynote speaking, and, you know, I get to travel, and people, I mean, I'm humbled that they pay me to like teach them things. Like, your values and priorities can get out of whack. So I look at breadth versus depth. I want depth with my children, with my family, but those that I love the most. So a highlight is, man, my highlight of my day is I get to look in my kids' eyes, and I get to love on them, serve them, cry in front of them, tell them how I'm afraid, how I'm growing, you know, how I get on my knees and play in their sandbox. So I'm trying to be really focused on that. And I would say a hardship would be moving to Nashville, and I didn't know anybody. So, you know, I'm traveling and I'm trying to build some new friends, but it's like just building that fourth C, this new tribe around the community, when, you know, I'm out here grinding and making curriculum, doing podcasts, and just remembering, I need to just stop serving and creating content. I need to just receive and be a friend. And that's been hard for me this year because we got up and moved. I didn't know anybody out here. But I've prioritized, you know, this month. I have a great therapist. Her name's Kelly. Like, we work on, you know, do something kind for yourself every day. And my, like, kindness focus this month is to reach out to people. Let's go grab coffee. Let's go grab lunch. Let's go see a movie. Let's go to the gym. You know?
Yeah, that That is good, man. I love that you mentioned earlier being vulnerable. I love that you're just being vulnerable with this, right? Because these are all human condition. These are all things that we're feeling, right? And maybe we didn't move to Nashville, move to a new city, but we all have something and we need to be able to deal with it. We need to be able to have somebody to help us, part of that coach, part of that community. So love the way these things are tying back in together. Real fast before I let you go, because I want to know this. I guess let's simplify it. Things that are non-negotiables in your day, right? Like daily routines or whatever. As someone who is a high performer, as someone who's been, like you said, a recovering perfectionist, but also someone who you're crushing it, right? You're doing a great job. But what are some of your daily non-negotiables?
That's a great one. My non-negotiable is I'm going to have some coffee, bro. I'm going to get myself an iced white mocha. I'm going to find it somewhere. And that is like, you know, again, I speak or I'm in front of a camera a lot. So I'm all about process and making the main thing the main thing, and just having some rituals to create calm,
mm-hmm.
to create peace. So a non-negotiable is I'm going to treat myself with an iced white mocha. Let's go. And number two is I like movement. I think I try to move my body every day, and it doesn't have to be like I'm lifting all this weight or I run 5 miles. It's like, if I can't get to a gym or if I can't, you know, the weather's crappy, I'm going to do something to elevate my heart rate, whether it's burpees in my room in the hotel, whether it is a treadmill, whether I go out, you know, Nashville's gorgeous this week. I can go out on a little run. I was in Spokane, Washington this week, doing some business, some new stuff. It was 21 degrees, snow, ice. Went outside in the morning, you know, 6:37. I went and got to run it. So that's a non-negotiable. I think the third one I mentioned earlier, these all kind of overlap, is I'm very intentional right now in my life is like reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a text, a phone call, I'm not going to live my life alone, man. I'm going to reach out to family, to loved ones, and I'm just going to make that really intentional. That, you know, I don't work in like an office building or like the water cooler, you know. And I've realized that, you know, the number one source of happiness is being with other people that you love, connection, you know. So I would say those three right now.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Love it, man. So, well, where can we get a hold of you, Colin? How can people connect with your company, connect with you?
I would say the easiest thing to do is pull out your phone right now, hit up IG, that Instagram, and search Colin Henderson, 2 L's. Give me a follow, and then, you know, I post stuff in my stories more than my grid. I'll do some reels, but I have a lot of free content in my reels of like coaching, like different concepts, like quick 1 minute, just zingers, nuggets, examples to reframe, to refocus. And on LinkedIn, if you're more into the business stuff, I have a podcast called Master Your Mindset, Tools to Win the Inner Game. If you want some books, go to Amazon, type in Colin Henderson, or go to my website, thecolinhenderson.com.
All right, excellent. I will have those things in the show notes so people have ease. Hopefully they jumped on Instagram right now and followed you. So then all the other things, I'll put those links in the show notes. So Colin, thank you for spending time with us for the masterclass, man. One of my favorite things about podcasting is not only getting to connect with people, having that human connection, building relationships, but it's like a free weekly education, right? I get an education and get to take these things. And so on a selfish note, I love that. But then we get to share that with a wider audience and impact people's lives in a positive way. So thank you for doing that, for spending time with mm-hmm. it, sharing your wisdom, man. I appreciate it.
Well, Chad, let's do this. Let's wrap up these last maybe 1 or 2 minutes. And I love the listeners. If you listen to this, share it with a friend, a loved one. And what were your biggest takeaways? What's something that you're going to actually do? So you may have heard the equation K minus A equals nothing. Knowledge minus action equals nothing.
Okay.
So what are you going to do after hearing that? Or biggest takeaway?
I know for me personally, and hopefully people are thinking right now what their biggest takeaways are, but going in and thinking about when you gave us business advice, okay, what is my passion, man? What's that thing that lights my fire that is not only my job, but it's my calling? What is that thing? All right. And then whenever I'm doing that, who am I helping with this? Who are the people that I'm helping? And also, who are the people I need to help me? Because a lot of times, man, as men, and I'm very, very guilty of this, want to be an island. I want to do it all by myself. Right. So who are the people that I can get to help me along the way? So as we were looking, and then went into your GPS, but right off the top, those are the things, man. What's my calling? Who are the people I can help with it? And then who are the people that I need to ask for help in those areas?
And I just did that because I want to challenge your listeners. A lot of people listen to podcasts for entertainment, not like they're going to use this as application. So if I'm reading a book, an audio book, or I listen to a podcast, I'm always trying to like, okay, what are the three things I already got out of this that was really impactful? Then what's the one action I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very good. Well, again, thank you for being on here. People, you know, anyone that's listening, like Colin said, please share it with a friend, somebody that who you know could use this. And then I want to implore everybody, because I'm doing it myself, jump into action, take some of these things and make them very actionable in your lives, because we had a lot of real true action steps that were given right there. So thank you. It's been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey friends, before we get started with the show, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been to Disney World, Disneyland, a Disney cruise, any of the Disney properties? I know for my family, it's one of our absolute favorite things to do. We've been to Disney World several times. We love it. When they say it's magical, it truly is. For us, it's a family favorite. So if you are planning any sort of Disney vacation, I want to give you the hookup. I know the best travel advisor who specializes in Disney. Her name is Lori Parks. If that name sounds familiar, Parks, yes, she is my wife. Lori is awesome at what she does. She loves all things Disney, passionate about it, and she wants to help you plan your trip. It can be confusing. The travel, what do we do when we get there? Where are we staying at? How do we get into the parks? She'll take care of it all. So if you want a free, no obligation quote, I want you to contact Lori. You can do so at loriparks25@gmail.com. That's Lauri parks25@gmail.com. Get with Lori. She'll give you that free, no obligation quote, and you guys can work out your next Disney vacation. It'll be a magical time that you and your family will cherish for years to come.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.